Amen. God is good. Amen. Okay, today we're going to continue in the Word of God, and I will continue where Pastor David left off last week. I'm not sure what he has planned to preach next time. If I, you know, preach about the same thing, never mind. You can hear two different versions. But I'm going to continue talking about the scripture Mark 7, 31 through 37. Okay, continuing where Pastor David left off last week. Mark 7, 31 to 37. And why don't we all lift our bodies up, rise to our feet, and read the scriptures together this morning? Amen? Come on, it's good to read the word together. Mark 7, 31 through 37, it says, everybody, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his finger into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Amen. You may be seated. May God bless his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Now, I believe a lot of us are familiar with this scripture. We have heard about it. Maybe if you have been in church longer, you have heard about it in Sunday school, or you have read it before. But we are quite familiar with this story. But the thing is, today, you know what? I want to go into what Jesus restored. That's why the title of my message is Jesus Restores. Jesus restores. And that is one thing I believe we have to put in our mind and believe, that Jesus is still able to do tremendous things in our life today. Come on. Very often we have that kind of attitude, and we live in a society where more and more we're going to a place where we think if we trust God to do something or we believe God can do something, we are not intellectual. Come on. That is where the world society is heading, where everything is tried to be explained by science. And if things happen that cannot be explained, then they come to a role where they say, I'm not sure what happened, but it cannot be God. It cannot be something supernatural. But I believe we have to remind ourselves that Jesus is alive. We have to remind ourselves that Jesus is still able to do miracles in our life. Come on. It is not only 2,000 years ago, after he went up to heaven, that is when it stopped. Jesus is still involved in our life. Jesus still wants to be a part of who we are and what we are doing. He is interested in each and every one of us. Amen? So Jesus wants to be involved. And if we say Jesus restores things in our life, it is not something that is okay. This is just for church, because it is not intellectual for our everyday life. No, it has to intervene. Our life is not Christian, spiritual life, and then the rest of the week is just our normal life. It is all one. Amen? Our religion, our belief, what we believe, what we know about Jesus, who he is, has to influence the rest of every part of our life. Everything else has to be part of that, has to be influenced by it, and maybe even determined by what we believe, how we react, how we respond, how we talk to people, the way that we do. All that one has to be determined by what we believe. So when we say Jesus restores, it is something that can happen today. The miracle that Jesus did to this man, we can experience the same kind of things in our life today. And the very first thing that this man was restored with was Jesus restored intimacy. My first point, Jesus restored intimacy. And there in verse 33 it says, after he took him aside, away from the crowd,
Jesus put his finger into the man's ears, later on he spit and he healed the man. But see what he did? He took the man aside, away from the crowd. Because Jesus did not want to make it a public spectacle just to promote himself. He was interested in the individual. Jesus was interested in what this man was going through. Not to show his power, not to demonstrate what he was capable of, but he was interested in the man himself. And that is the same kind of Jesus that we worship today, who is interested in you and me. A God that is not far, just interested in being worshipped.
God wants to be involved in our life. Come on. Jesus wants to be a part of our life. He wants to take us aside,
spend time with us, and really show himself to each and every one of us. Amen? And think about that privilege that we know the one who created the heavens and the earth,
who came and died for us. He is the one who wants to spend time with us. He is the one who is interested that we come, that we bear our hearts before him. That is the kind of Jesus that we read about in the Bible. And that is the kind of Jesus that you can experience, that I can experience, that we can experience in our life. A Jesus who restores intimacy. A Jesus who wants to be noticed, who wants to be involved in our life. You know, years ago, they made, it was like a little thing, a video they put out on YouTube. But there was a world-famous violin player. And people would pay thousands and thousands of dollars to just go and see his concert, where he would play the very classical pieces on his violin. So now they dressed him up as a beggar with his violin, which is worth millions, Stradivarius. Millions of worth of the violin, but they put him in the streets just performing as like a beggar, like a street artist. And the thing is, this is a man who is probably one of the best violin players. People pay a lot of money to go and see him. But all of a sudden, he was standing in a different kind of setting, just on the street. People walking by, and he was playing. Now, he still played just as good as he would play in a concert hall. He was still playing just as dedicated, just as nicely, with the same violin, with the same kind of passion like he did in the concert hall. But people just did not listen. They were so busy with their things, walking past, that hardly anybody took time to just stand and listen to the music. Something that people would pay thousands of dollars for. Now they could have it for free, but because they are so busy walking from one thing to from one point to the next one to another appointment, they were so busy that they totally missed out of an opportunity to hear this man play. Now, of course, they didn't know who he was. And even if they would put there the name, I highly doubt that a lot of people would know who that is. But the whole thing is, people did not realize the beauty because they were too busy. And very often, that can happen in our life, where we are so busy with our schedule, so busy doing things, that we miss the opportunity to be with God. Where we are so busy doing things which are good, which is expected of us, which are good things, but we are so busy that we are missing out the beauty of spending time with God. And I'm here this morning to encourage us to come back to the point where we say, God, I want to be intimate with you. I want to have that opportunity to be with you, to experience you, to see you pulling me aside from the crowd, pulling me away from my busy schedule, just to spend time with me. Not interested in my worship, just interested in spending time with me, being with me, showing that he is the loving Father, that he is the one who is interested in me. Come on, that should get us excited. Jesus wants to restore intimacy in our life. But we have to be cautious enough to say, yes, I want to spend time with you. I want to be in that place where you restore intimacy with Jesus again. Jesus took this man aside, away from the crowd, to spend time with him. Jesus wants to take us aside so that he can spend time with us. The second thing that Jesus restores, Jesus restored him physically. Jesus restored him physically, 34, 35. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Now, he restored him physically. But now, I just want you to imagine the life of this man. This man could not hear, and he could hardly speak. Can you imagine living in a place like that? Maybe you know someone who cannot talk. Maybe you know someone who cannot hear, who is deaf. And it is not easy to carry out a conversation with someone that you don't understand or who doesn't understand you and who cannot really speak back to you. Imagine how difficult it must be to him to have relationship, to just have a social life. Somebody who cannot hear and can hardly speak. But Jesus takes him aside, and he cares for him. He doesn't want just to be with him, but he wants to make him well. Amen? So Jesus is not only interested in spending time with us, but he is also interested in our well-being. Jesus wants to be with us. Jesus wants to, but we have to come to a point where we can speak freely to him without the barriers of language, without the barriers of pretense, without the barrier of doing the right thing religiously, just coming how we are. You know, years ago, I'm coming to the place where I can say 20 years ago, and I'm actually not exaggerating anymore. Feeling old now. But years ago, I went to Africa, to Angola. And in Angola, they speak Portuguese. And of course, their own language, Ubuntu. So I went there. I was going with a missionary, and we did some humanitarian aid work among the street children and the orphans of war. So we were doing work. And every Sunday, we would go from one church to another and preach. So I would come up, I would give a testimony, I would share something short, and then the uncle would come up, the missionary, and he would preach, then we had altar call, and we would minister to the people like a normal church service. So now, we only had one translator. He translated from German into Ubuntu, their own language. So now, one of the Sundays, they scheduled us to be in two churches at the same time. So the missionary said, okay, never mind, Stephen, you go to one, you preach there, I go to the other one, and I preach there. But he took the interpreter. So I was going to the church with no one to translate for me. Now, I got into the church, and I said, you know what, Pastor? Sorry, I cannot speak. If you cannot translate for me, I cannot really preach. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I can preach in English, but nobody will understand. He said, don't worry, brother, don't worry. So the worship went on, and then they called me up on stage. And I was under the impression that I didn't have to say anything. So they called me up on stage. I just go up, and I say, hi, nice to meet you. Good to see you all. And then I'm ready to go off, and they said, no, you have to say something, at least 10 minutes. Now I was up there, and then I started to speak the few words here and there that I learned from Ubuntu and Portuguese and a little bit of Spanish that I knew and a little bit of French that I had in school. I just started to make whatever and try to say something. But you can imagine how that turned out. Well, people were happy anyway because I tried so hard. I have no idea if they understood anything I tried to say. But in my head, it made sense. And they were happy, so in the end, okay. But the point is, it is difficult to communicate if you cannot really speak the language. It's difficult to understand someone if you don't know what they are trying to say. And this man could not hear, and he could hardly speak, so I can only imagine how difficult it was for him to communicate with people. Most people probably did not take time to really try to even communicate with him. They would see him come, he would make some noise because he can hardly speak. They would rather just give him a few coins and rush off to their next appointment. Come on. Like what we like to do. If somebody comes and begs for money, we faster give him some money and then we go a different direction. Very often it's true. But people probably did not take time to spend with him. But here comes Jesus, pulling him aside from the crowd to spend time with him, communicating with him, doing something other people were not willing to do. And that is the kind of Jesus who wants to spend time with you. So even though we might be impaired religiously when it comes to the point that I don't know who Jesus, who God really is. I don't know exactly about the origin of the universe, but it doesn't matter because Jesus just wants to communicate with us on our level. How we can speak to a friend, that is how Jesus wants to be spoken to. Not fancy prayers that doesn't mean much. He wants to hear our heart. But he is interested in not only us, but in making us well. Amen? So whatever we have in our lives, we can bring it before Jesus. Because he is not only willing to spend time with us, but he is willing to make us well. He is willing and he is able. I talked about an example before. I could say, okay, I want to give away 100,000 ringgit. And I really want to give you 100,000 ringgit. I really want to. But if I ask my bank and even my wife, no way. I am not able. Not even a tenth of that. So yes, I might be willing to, but I'm not able. Or maybe some people are able, but they are not willing. So one or the other, if one is missing, nothing will happen. But in Jesus, we have someone who is willing and we have someone who is able. So if we bring our needs before him and say, God, I really need a touch from you, we can expect him to not only be willing, but to be able to produce a miracle. Come on. I can feel it. And I it's something that is like, we don't necessarily like to talk about miracles in church. Because on one side, we want to see it, but on the other, we think, how can that ever happen? Come on, realistically, how can it happen? No, it can. I told you the example before where my brother had stomach cancer. He went into the operation room, doctors took out whatever they could take out, but they said they have to go back because they could not get rid of it. He has to be transferred to a specialist. So they transferred him to another hospital. The doctor went in. When they opened it up, there was no trace of cancer left at all. And all, I believe, because the church came together and prayed. Amen? Once you see something like that, I think my mom said I was 7 years old. My brother was 9. Once you see something like this, you just cannot remain the same. Now if somebody says, Jesus is able to do miracles, I know that he can. Something that cannot be explained any other way. Not through anything else, but that something or someone intervened. And that was Jesus. Come on. And that is something that we can experience in our life. Where we can say, yes, God, you're not only interested in me, but you want to restore me physically. You want to restore my needs and meet my needs. Let me put it that way. Jesus wants to meet our need. Amen. The third thing is, Jesus restores relationships. Jesus restores relationship. Verse 35. And at this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Think about it. We talked about somebody who cannot communicate. You're not able to understand the language. You're not able to speak the language. You're not able to hear or even speak like this man. Socially, the relationship that he had would be very difficult. I'm sure that his immediate family, of course, would still take care of him and all this. But other than that, it would be very difficult to have relationship, meaningful friendships with other people because it's just not able to communicate. But now Jesus comes in, pulls him aside, speaks into his life and heals him. And all of a sudden he can hear and he can speak plainly, which means now he can go back and restore the relationship that he once had. People that he was not be able to communicate with before, now he can speak with again. Now he can make new friends again. He can talk to someone plainly about what is going on in his life. Now he is able to socially keep relationships again. And all because Jesus touched him and healed him. So when I say this morning, Jesus restores relationship, I'm talking about marriages. When Jesus restores relationship, I'm talking about a relationship where you have estranged from your son, your daughter, from your uncle, from your sister, your brother, whatever it is. Jesus wants to restore relationships. Amen? Where something happened in the past, something that is, maybe you don't even know what happened anymore, but at that time it seemed unforgivable. Jesus wants to restore relationships. Amen? Jesus wants to restore relationships. Hallelujah. This man was socially impaired, but because Jesus touched him, he could now have a social life again. Amen? And that is the kind of God where you say, God, you know what? I want to open up to other people. We are a church. Find someone that you can trust. Maybe it's your cell group leader. Maybe it's one in your cell group. Maybe you're not even part of a cell group. Attach yourself to a cell group where you can be with people that you can open up to. Because in life, so much things are about relationships. Amen? You know, I think it was Heineken or Carlsberg or what, where they said, you know what? The best things in life are meant to be shared. Is it? I thought so. If not, it would be a good commercial, I guess. The best things in life are meant to be shared. No, I saw it. I can remember there's a guy in a movie cinema eating his popcorn. He's laughing. He's looking next to not someone, and then the seat is empty. Someone is in front of his birthday cake, and he's like, yeah, happy birthday. And then he looks around, and no one is there. He's sitting in front of his own birthday cake all by himself. And then the thing is, best things in life are meant to be enjoyed together. If you're alone, you cannot really enjoy much, right? You need someone to enjoy it with. Now we have people here traveling the world alone, single. It's good, it's nice, but you will be able to enjoy because you make friends along the way. True or not? You're not going to places you don't know anyone, and then that's just it. You connect with people. The people that you meet on the bus, the people that you meet on the plane, the people that stay in the same hotel, the people that are in the same restaurant. For some reason, you connect with them, and then you can enjoy. Even though you didn't know them before, but because now you get to know them, you can enjoy. Lesson in life is we can only enjoy if we are together with someone. It's very difficult to enjoy all that you want all by yourself. It's meant to be enjoyed together. Life is supposed to be together. Enjoyed together in relationships that are meaningful. And Jesus came to restore relationship. Jesus can help us in our job interviews, in our communication with our spouse, in raising our children, or just being with one another in church. Whereas maybe somebody is rubbing us the wrong way, Jesus is there to mend broken relationships. Amen? And Jesus is still interested today to restore relationships. Amen? So Jesus came to restore relationships. Last point for today is Jesus restores passion. Verse 36, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. From not being able to talk at all, or hardly, he went the opposite direction. Now he was talking a little bit too much. He was so excited about what happened in his life that he had to tell people. And then those people, got so excited about what happened in his life that they had to tell somebody else. Even though Jesus said, hey, don't tell anyone. Think about it. Jesus, you are there, deaf and can hardly talk. Jesus touches you. And you're so excited, but Jesus says, don't tell anyone. But now finally you can go back to your family and have a good talk with them. Maybe tell them what's on your mind, what you weren't able to tell before. Now you go home, full of life and full eager, and then they say, hey, what happened to you? You can talk, you can hear what happened. You know what? Jesus touched me, but I'm not supposed to talk about it. Don't tell anyone, huh? Jesus touched me and healed me. So what guys, they're going to the uncle and say, you know what? You know what happened to this guy? Jesus touched him and healed him, but don't say anything, huh? They're going to the neighbors and say, you know what? I heard and I've seen it. This guy who was deaf and blind, couldn't talk. Now he's talking, but cannot tell anyone. But the more they say, it got around and the word got out. Why? Because they were so excited. Something has happened that was supernatural that they have not seen before, only heard about maybe, but it happened to somebody they knew. And they got so excited and had to share their news. So they went out telling everyone they saw what had happened, even though Jesus said not to tell anyone. Now, Jesus told us to go out and tell people the good news. He said, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Huh? Heard that before, right? Matthew 4:19. He also said, go and tell the good news to every creature. Mark 16:15. He said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey and baptize them. Matthew 28. So Jesus told us, go out and tell the world. But what do? Not so much. Talking for myself as well. These men, they were not supposed to say anything, but they got so excited, so passionate about it, that they had to go and tell someone. We are meant to go out and tell people, but are we as excited about it? Have we really experienced God in a way that we get excited about Him? That we want to share what Jesus has done in us? And if not, we have to come to a place and say, God, make yourself real to me. That I get to see who you really are, so that I know who you are, so that I can experience something. And that will produce something in us that we want to go out and tell others. Amen? We have to have a passion, an excitement about God. You know what? A few weeks back, I took the kids to see the Avengers movie. So I told them, okay, I'm going to take you for the movie. Aiden got so excited. He started running around me. We're going to see Avengers, going to see Avengers. He got so excited. All of a sudden, on one of his rounds around me, he decided to run head first into my butt. Boom! Oh, my goodness. Good thing I didn't have him far. But he got so excited, he didn't know how to contain his excitement. So he started running and did something he regretted later on. But the thing is, he got excited. He was so excited, he didn't even know what to do. He had to run around. That is children, right? It's not for us adults. We are more poised. We are more composed. We are Asians. We don't show our excitement so much. No, if something happens to us, we ought to be excited. Come on, be honest. I'm talking to people and say, you know what? I had the best char kway teow. You should go and try it. I say, okay, where is it? Penang. I said, Penang is like a four-hour drive. You want me to drive to Penang just to eat a char kway teow? Yeah, you should go and try. Nonsense. I'm not going to drive so far just to eat char kway teow. Crazy, huh? Okay, next time you go to Penang, then you eat. Okay, that one I can do. If I'm around that place anyway, I can. But you are so excited about things that you experience that you say, you have to go and try. No matter how far it is. Food. So excited about that. But we have to have the kind of excitement about God that we say, hey, you know what? I experienced Jesus and you need to experience Him as well. An excitement in us, a passion that is over bubbling that we cannot even contain anymore. That is something that Jesus has to produce in us, and we can have that once we experience Him. So my prayer this morning is that Jesus will show up in your life. So that we can get excited about what Jesus is doing in us. So that that passion, that excitement can spill over and we can tell others about what is going on in us. And even better, people see us and say, hey, you know what? There's something different about you. What is going on with you? And you can share what Jesus is doing in you. But Jesus has to make Himself real to us. Amen. We have to get excited about him and what he's doing in our life. So let's rise to our feet this morning and just pray and believe that Jesus will show up in each and every one of our lives. Amen. Who is here who has a need this morning? You need a touch from God. You have a situation in your life. Anything. I want you to know that Jesus wants to touch you this morning. Sometimes we are just one prayer away from a miracle. Maybe we are just one day away from overcoming